Good morning, one and all. I thank God for bringing me back safely from my mission trip, Singapore and Thailand. Malaysia is visitation. A good trip to Thailand. The Lord gave me the opportunity to teach in the Bible seminary. I have 8 full-time students and 2 for audition. 2 for audition, one of them is a music teacher of the seminary. And the other one is a full-time student who takes a master's degree in the seminary. So they are auditing my course. So they are all together 10 students. 5 days of lecturing. It's very tiring, especially morning and evening and afternoon have a short break. Isaac also encountered the same thing and he feels the same thing, very tired. So I'm not the only one who feels that. Many hours of teaching. But thank God the students are very active in their learning and they learn well. You may want to know where are the students come from. Well, they came from the CEM churches. CEM has about many churches and have about more than 1,000 worshippers in all the churches they attended. And these are the ones who have given their life for the full-time service. And so they attend the seminary. At the same time, the seminary also go out to scout for area where there's no gospel being preached to start a new work. And who is starting the new work? The students, after they graduate, they will start the new work, they will do the work there. So it's a complete program of the whole mission work in Thailand. Just now we have been praying for a person by the name of Raymond Koh. Raymond Koh, I know him well. He was with us, Calvary BP Church, in the early days when he came to Singapore to work at Philip. And then he came to worship my church. And after that, he joined the OM, Operation Mobilization. All right. For a few years, and he returned, and then he went back to Malaysia to serve the Lord full-time service. From then on, I did not have any contact with him. As I heard of his name, he was very familiar. And the thing that happened, I asked my friend in Malaysia, Christian leaders in Malaysia, what happened to him? And they told me that he is not kidnapped by any person. He is being secretly arrested by police. Because of his ministry, he reached out to the Malay, to the Muslim. In Malaysia, you cannot reach out to Malay. You cannot witness to Malay. And this is very, very important. However, the Christian, they are still doing the work secretly, underground, like those in China. And according to the report that I received from these Christian leaders, that there are 20,000 Christians, Muslim, Malay Christians in Malaysia. They don't congregate like what we do, worshipping. They attend Bible study, one-to-one. And so many of them do not know each other, who are those Christian, who are not Christian, because it's very, very important. And Raymond Koh is very active in this ministry, known by many people. I think the government also know about it, arrested him for this particular reason. And these are all information from my friend who is in Malaysia telling me all about that. They study the situation, a special car, that's a police car. And the way they organize, it's an expert, 2-3 cars going together, block his car, and then connect it. And behind there are people conducting the traffic. Who can do that? Only the police will be doing that. Secondly, they went to report to the police station, and immediately the police station know who he was. Raymond Cole, oh, he knows. So it's quite certain, all right? According to that report, that this is he's being arrested by police. So pray for him that the Lord will give him grace, strength during this time of trials. And also pray for the work in Malaysia, especially among the Malays. There are many Christians doing the work secretly. They know the risk. And in fact, he know the one day that he will be arrested. And sure enough, it happened. So that is about Raymond Cole. So by giving you this info, you will know what to pray for, you see. Now we come to the serious business, the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to preach on the claims of Jesus based on John chapter 5, verse 14 to 29. This is a very important passage about the claim of Christ. And what I'm preaching you is only part one. Part one, there's part two. Many, many more things can be said in this passage. Before I go into the details of the claim of Jesus, let me bring to you the background. Why did Jesus need to proclaim his claim? We all know that Jesus performed the miracles of the healing the man by the side, by the pool side of Bethesda. And later Jesus found him in the temple. Perhaps a man has gone there to give thanks to God for his healing. When Jesus found him, he told him in verse 14, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Now, these statements imply that the man's sickness was a result of his sin. And if he continued in his sin, he might suffer something worse than what he experienced before. Perhaps eternal consequences of living in sin. After this encounter, the man told the Jews, it was Jesus who had made him well. And when the Jews heard that, they were all very angry and even wanted to kill him. You know why? Verse 16 tells us. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. In verse 17, but Jesus answered them. This is not an answer to the question, but it is a response to the Jews' intent to persecute Jesus for breaking the Sabbath. And he says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." That is, my Father is working until now, and I am working. This answer was intolerable to the Jews. So intolerable that they decided to work even harder to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. This is found in verse 18. No doubt some Jews could hardly believe what they were hearing. Some of you may wonder, was Jesus really claiming to be equal with God? Yes, he was. And we find the implications of his claim of being equal with God in John chapter 5, verse 19 to 30. First of all, Jesus claimed one with the Father in his work. Now, you may look at the Bible in verse 19 to 20 of John chapter 5. Perhaps we can read this passage together. 19 and 20, these two verses together. Ready? Go. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "I say unto thee, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but of what sees the Father do, For what things soever he doeth, this also do the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater work than this, that they may marvel. The Lord Jesus began his first claim with verily, verily. What does it mean? It means I tell you the truth. I tell the truth. And that you must hear and accept what I have said to you. Then he affirms his oneness and equality with the Father on the basis of their cooperative work. And this is the first great claim of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that in verse 19? Here he says, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. In other words, the Son does not act independently of the Father. He does what his Father do. What he sees, in other words, you can phrase it, what he sees his Father doing means he knows perfectly the will of the Father. How do we know? How do we know that Jesus knows perfectly the will of the Father? And the reason is this, because it is also his will. The Father's will and Jesus' will are the same. So whatever the Father thinks, the Son says, it's my will also. You see? So they are all of the same will. They are in perfect harmony in their nature, in their plans, and also in their actions. So the implication is clear. When the Jews opposed Jesus, the Son, they were also opposing God, his Father. How? Because the Father also performed the miracles on the Sabbath day. You see, Jesus told the Jews that he was only doing what he saw the Father do. They were working together with one heart, one soul, one spirit and mind to carry out the plan. And therefore, the Jewish leaders were fighting against the God of the law they claimed to be defending. So you see, God the Son and God the Father, both of them, do the same work. Jesus claimed to equality with the Father demands that we see their two hearts beating as one. This beautiful thought is seen in John chapter 5, verse 20, the first part. The first part, the A says, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth them, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. Now we go into the detail of this phrase, this part of the verse. The word for, in Greek, God, can be translated as because, which binds the affections of the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father. And the word translated love is not the usual word agape. It's not the word agape, which is used to describe the love of God. It is the word phileo, which is the term for friendship love or brotherly love. Philadelphia, brotherly love. It often denotes the feeling among the members, the family members All right, the family member has the same kind of feeling. And it stresses the close bond the father and the son has for each other. So it tells you that the father and son, they were very close. They were very close. Therefore, filial is used for love, which often expresses this kinship affection. From the human level, we understand this as the personal love between friends who delight in sharing everything. Do you have a friend that you can share everything to him or her? I think most of us, we have someone that we can really share. Some of you have more than one, you see. And this is the word used here, filial. You share whatever you have in your mind, in your thoughts, whatever you encounter to your friend. The friend whom you love, you can trust. And this is the word that's being used. So we must understand that Jesus is a separate person of the Godhead. He has a power to act his own, but by virtue of the love and identity within the Godhead, he will not do what the Father does not want to do. In John chapter 5, verse 20, second part says, "And soweth," the word, "and soweth," whoso? The Father. "The Father showeth him," the word "him" refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, "all things that himself do." You see, the Father always share with the Son the things that he wants to do. And this is what it is here. And so the main point of the reason for Jesus healing the sick on the Sabbath day is that he sees what the Father is doing, and he also do the same. And that is, he work in harmony with the Father to accomplish the work. Do you see the point there? Now, the claim that Jesus set before us here is that he is equal with the Father. Only when you are equal with a person, you can do that. And here it is. So we must always remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. That must be a constant reality in our lives. As believers in Christ, we must affirm who Jesus is. He is supreme and is the Lord of our life. To unbeliever, he comes with the same claim. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for all time and for all eternity. There's no difference. He will confront all mankind and demands a response from all of them of what we have done at the judgment day. So, my friend, are you ready when the Lord Jesus comes to you? Or when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ? So that's the first claim. Secondly, Jesus claimed the power to give life. Christ not only claimed to be equal with God and work in harmony with him, he also claimed to be able to give life. Where does he say so? Well, you look carefully in verse 25. Verse 25 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead," what is the dead here? Dead here refers to the spiritually dead, those who are lost, those who are not saved yet, they are spiritually dead, "shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live," shall be alive, shall be made alive, shall be born again, in other words, okay? Now, do you know when you are made alive? Or do you know when you are born again? Can you remember when you are born again? My friend, some people can remember. They can give the date, the time when he was born again or she was born again. But I can't remember when I was born again. I cannot remember because at that time, when I was born again, the term also we don't know. Right? So we do not know where. I do not know when I was born again. But I know I am spiritually alive. And that is important. I know I'm very sure and I'm born again. And that is very important. The date, not important. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, when the dead, the spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they shall live. And that is those who are spiritually dead, hear, believe the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shall live. They shall live. In other words, the new birth is, you can be saved very easily. The new birth is a great mystery, but the process is very simple, as it is stated in John chapter 5, verse 24. All right, look carefully, John chapter 5, verse 24. What John chapter 5, verse 24 says, we read together, this is a very familiar verse. Ready, go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see, the process is very simple. Two things. What are two things to be born again? Hear and believe, right? You say, you must believe that. Verily, verily, I said to you, this is the truth. You see? And so the process is very simple. The hearing here is much more than hearing with the physical ear. Much more than that. It is the hearing with the heart and by faith receiving the truth into your heart. You truly believe. That's the main meaning here. You know, there are two kinds of hearers. There are those who hear the gospel of Christ and respond to the call of Christ. These people became spiritually alive, born again. And that is a promise in John chapter 5, verse 24. All right? The other one are those who hear and refuse, ignore, and reject his gift of salvation. These people will remain spiritually dead. Will remain spiritually dead, according to John chapter 25, 24. So hearing and believing, these two are very important. Let me show you another verse. All right? John chapter 10, verse 27. The Lord Jesus Christ says, what did Jesus say in John chapter 10, verse 27? Here Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Two words, hear and follow. Hear and follow. Therefore, when our Lord Jesus Christ speaks of hearing his word, he is referring to receiving the truth into the heart. Not just hearing with the physical ears. Those who really believe in their heart, when they hear the word of Christ, what will they do? They will follow. They will follow, you see. So the word follow here speaks of the person truly believe and obey what the Lord Jesus Christ says. So you see, hearing and believing are two very important things that a person should do if he is going to receive eternal life. Now, what is everlasting life? Everlasting life becomes the possession of those who not only hear God's word, but also believe on the one who sent him. I will explain what is everlasting a little on. The second part of this verse. Everlasting life becomes the possession of those who not only hear the word of Christ, but also believe on the one who sent him. Who's the one who sent the Lord Jesus Christ? God the Father. God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life. The Lord is not teaching that one can be saved by believing in the Father only. If you just believe the Father only, you cannot be saved. Some people say, oh, I believe in God, that's good enough, I can go to heaven. No. You see, not only the Father. There are many people who think that this is the interpretation, but the meaning of these words grows deeper than that. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it clear that for one to receive eternal life, he must believe who? Both, right? In the Father who sent the Son, as well as believing the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So two of them. Whoever hears the word of God and believes in the Father and the Son, according to the word of Christ, has everlasting life. It's a very clear text here. There's no second meaning in this text. Everlasting life is spoken here as the believer's present possession. When you believe in Christ, everlasting life is yours. He received his gift immediately upon hearing and receiving the word of Christ into his heart. All right? You believe it, it's already, you are saved. How do I know? Because the tenses of the verb in John chapter 5, verse 24 indicates when a man hears and believes, that gift of everlasting life is already his. Because all the verbs here, except the last one, is a present tense. It's a present tense. According to Greek, it's a present tense. Even shall not come is a present tense with a future effect. And those who hearing and believing do not come to the judgment. All right? So it's very clear. If you study Greek, you know it's talking about present. The moment you believe, you receive the everlasting life. It's all stated here very clearly. Now, what is everlasting life? Many people think everlasting life, you live for a long, long life, will not die, right? That's everlasting life. That's a very simple concept. It's true, you will not die, it's true in a sense, but it means more than that. What is everlasting life? What is eternal life? Everlasting life embodies the entire work of God in the lives of the believers. All right, entire work, everything included, such as forgiveness of sin, justification, you are being accepted as righteous in God's sight, that's the meaning of justification, adopting into God's family, God accept you as his son. Regeneration, he give you a new life, that's born again. And also preparing a place for you in heaven. All right, these are all included in the package of everlasting life. So all these become the inheritance of the believer instantaneously when he received Christ as his Savior. That is not the end of the blessing. All right? Not just that. That's not the end of the blessing. The Lord Jesus Christ declares that the believer shall not come, what? Into condemnation or come into judgment. That is, he will not stand before God in judgment for his sin at the great white throne mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. You know why? Because Jesus has paid the penalty of our sin, or the sin of the believer. And Paul says very clearly in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, There is therefore now, you see, present tense again, you see, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see that? Because all your sin already paid. So God is not going to judge you anymore. Then the great white throne is reserved for sinners whose sin have not been forgiven. All right? Do you know your sin has been forgiven? If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, your sin will not be forgiven. You see? And those people whose sin have not been forgiven, their sins are written in the book according to their works. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, their names are not in the book of life. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found in the book of life, what? Was cast into the lake of fire. So I saw it step by step. So if you are a believer, your name is written in the book of life. If you reject, you do not want to believe, your name is not in the book of life, but all your sins are recorded in the books of works, according to your works, from the day, the first sin that you committed until you die. How many sins you have committed? You count and you will frighten you. One day, one sin will do. How many days you live throughout your life? Think about it. Isn't it? A lot, right? So the believers' names are recorded in the book of life. We are safe forever. We will not go through the judgment. Now, dear friend, thirdly, this verse tells us that the gift of salvation is offered to all. The opportunity is for everyone. The process is very simple. Hear and believe. Very simple. Receive Christ into your heart. And the benefit are eternal. The invitation is open to all. All may come to him. But the question this morning is this. Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Thirdly, Jesus claimed the authority to judge. And this is found in chapter 5, verse 22, 27 to 30. The last claim that he made on this occasion was that of being a judge. Verse 28, all right? Let's look at verse 28. Here he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Whose voice? Whose voice? Here is not the voice of the Father. It is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will call believers and unbelievers to the resurrection. In verse 29, he said, the hour is coming. The hour spoken of is referring to the future. When all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, when would that be? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, speaks of the last trump in the last days. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. What will happen after he called the physical dead to come forth? What will happen? All right. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 says, we shall be changed. You and I shall be changed. And verse 53 says, we will be given new immortal bodies. We will experience the fullness of life. And the same true for everyone who believes in Christ and accept him as his Savior. I believe I have this change. You believe you will have the same change. Those who do not believe will find themselves at the great white throne facing the Lord Jesus Christ, and to whom they are accountable, and none will escape the judgment. Dear friends, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, may I urge you to receive him now. And the worst evil any man can commit is that of rejecting or ignoring the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to give you the gift of eternal life and you reject it. That's the worst evil. And Jesus says, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That is judgment. So dear friends, have you responded to his call for salvation? If you have not, may I urge you to come to him now. To those who believe in Christ, we must know one thing. We know what the future holds. Do you know what the future holds? You know where you will be going? You know what will happen to you in future when you pass this world? As a believer, you know. And I know because of the promises of God in the Bible. And I believe. He came to this world to die for our sin. He takes away our sin if we believe in him. And he promised us eternal life. A life that we can be with him forever in heaven. And this is the promise that he gave to all those who opened his heart or her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So may God help us as we meditate upon the words of Jesus Christ in these few verses, that what he has promised to you and to me. May God help us and give us the assurance, the courage to keep trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ.